Welcome to another episode of Football is White. I'm Leslie Ryder, and I'm here with my wife, Emily Anderson.
Woo girl, Emily Anderson. Yep, that's
me. We are wed.
Your wife. That's me.
We are wives. We like football, and we like other sports, too. And that's what we're going to talk about here today.
Yep, that's what we do. I think I opened the apps thing on Zoom, and I can't close it. There we go. Okay. I'm definitely ready for this.
She's the technical one.
That's still true.
It is still true. It's just funny when it happens to you and not to me.
Yeah.
We have much to get into, and much ahead of us. We have the NWSL home stretch. We have the brand new team in Chicago that I don't know if you've heard of them. The Chicago Red Stars. They're a new team now. They've become a new team. We have Alex Morgan and her adventures with league officiating, and we have the U.S. Women's National Team retirement week beginning today.
That's a lot.
It is a lot. And we're going to get into all of it, beginning with the NWSL. Yay! We have...
Love the NWSL.
You do love the NWSL. You frequent it frequently.
Okay.
Yeah, it works.
Uh-huh.
But we have an extremely close NWSL playoff race. Three games to go.
It's bonkers.
Three games to go, and no one's eliminated. Everyone's in the race.
Why did we think Chicago was eliminated?
There was a post in, like, August that said that Chicago had been eliminated. And
yeah. Was it from maybe, the Shield, maybe?
Maybe, but yeah. It, not eliminated. They're in it. Which is wild.
They're going to go all the way. They're going to the playoffs.
What a story it would be. There, right now, there are... 6 points from the top position to the last playoff position. And there are 5 points between the last playoff position and last place. Anything is possible right now. And I think that's beautiful.
I love it. I root for chaos a little less, but at the same time, because Chicago is near the bottom, inherently, them winning and making the playoffs is chaos, so I think I'm still rooting for chaos.
Absolutely. I mean, and especially when you look at just, like, the win column. Like, right now they have as many wins as the Washington Spirit, who have completely gone into a free fall in their last 5 games. They haven't had a win. They might want one of those. It seems like... You go between, like, first place and third place. You have Portland, San Diego, and Gotham. Those are all teams who have had better weeks in the last month or so. Like, they've been serious. And then you get down to the last three playoff spots, your North Carolina, your OL Reign, and your Washington Spirit. And you see why the bottom of the table is still in it. Like, of these three teams, only OL Reign have a win in the last 5 games, which is wild. It's like, do you want it? Do you want to make the playoffs?
I don't know. I think should be everyone's answer. I think it probably is everyone's answer. But who's gonna prove it? I don't know. That's the part that, again, this is why I think the NWSL is still the best women's soccer league at this time, is because you end up at the end of the season like this. Literally, anyone can go to the playoffs. It's bonkers.
There's no, like, cupcake game on the schedule where it's like, yeah, we're gonna go into Louisville and we're gonna hang 6 goals on them. Like, that's not how it goes here.
It's not at all. I love it.
I think it's exciting, and I love the extended playoff field and the possibilities. And it's the first time, as spotted by Coach Stith, it's the first time we have all the teams with 20 points, which is really cool.
That is very cool.
Do you have a favorite right now to win?
To win the playoffs?
Well, to win the shield. Put it that way.
Oh, to win the shield. No, I don't have a favorite. I like to root for chaos, so I want whoever's least likely to win.
I like that Gotham is making a push for it.
I think that would be the most fun, especially because the Liberty are also in the playoffs right now.
That's true.
And I like when a city collects championships in a year. And we don't see that very much with women's sports, if ever, yet. I don't know if we've had enough women's sports to do that. But let's start this year. And sure, New York. You guys win everything anyway, so.
Yeah, New York. You want to be title town? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, someone's got to take it.
I
feel like it's a response to, and we'll get to this later, but Boston being introduced, New York's like, no, we're here first.
we're gonna collect titles, and it's gonna be great. And I like the creation of title towns in women's sports. I think as leagues expand, we can see more of that. But right now, it's up for grabs.
Someone better grab it.
Please, someone grab it. It's
just like the shield. Someone please take it.
Give me a shield title winner sometime in the next 3 weeks. I would love for all of this to culminate in like a last day extravaganza of chaos that just it turns everything on its head. And it would be really cool if we had the programming options for that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a minute till we get there, but you know.
I want it now.
All right, so all you have to do is get really rich, buy a network, get the rights from CBS, then line all that up. So also, if in that like getting rich process, you could throw some money at me, that'd be cool.
Well, yeah, obviously you're my wife. You get half of what I have. That's how that goes.
Is it?
Well, what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. And
I don't remember that in the vows. I don't think that was.
You don't. I'm pretty sure the officiant in the park added that into our vows.
The way you say officiant in the park makes it sound like we just found someone in a park to marry us. Because it's not technically wrong, but it's
not.
Very
it's
funny.
Not very far from the truth of our wedding.
It's not. I think it was a little nicer. We talked to her before we were even in the city about marrying us.
That's true.
So.
We did put some effort into that.
Yeah.
And I think we reap the rewards now we are wed.
Sure.
Speaking of weddings, the Chicago Wed Stars.
The Wed Stars.
The Chicago Red Stars are wed to their new owner, the Laura Ricketts group of diverse investors. And they were in audience at SeatGeek Stadium this weekend. They got the Jumbotron treatment, the waved to the people from their box, and it was nice to see. It was nice to see them there.
Yeah, it was good. They went over to the 134 and said hey. They, you know, met the players afterwards. That was really cool. Yeah, it was nice to have them there. I'm hoping we keep seeing them there. Like, I think having that presence is important.
Yeah, and it just seems like Chicago has, I mean, we've said it before on this pod, but like they really have transformed. They went down in the game against Angel City twice and managed a comeback to keep the points.
I would argue this Red Stars has been there the whole time, and they have not transformed, but they have been freed They have been freed of a burden, unleashed, maybe. We've got people who are back and healthy. That makes a big difference. We've got much more depth than they've had all season, as Coach alluded to after the game. And they've come back and scored multiple times this season. Like, they'll go down a goal and then respond pretty quickly. I should pull stats if that was a thing I was faster at. So honestly, like, this is why I fell in love with them this season, to be honest, is because I kept seeing that fight. But now they get to, like, to run freely, I feel like. It's nice. Like, they've got something to play for. And that's, I love it.
Yeah, there's less to worry about. And I think it helped this weekend. They had their second largest crowd of...
Ever
in their history, as 8,000 something, but it was full. It was really cool, like, to just hear the reactions after each goal, and
it was loud
in there,
and not just screaming children, which was cool.
No, and it, you know,
although lines, there were plenty of those
lines to get into the parking lot, and like using the auxiliary parking lot. It's just like a what could be in this space, and I am just really excited for their future, and I hope they get into the playoffs. I would really love for them to finish out this season on their run, because they can really fuck some shit up on the way out.
Which would be really fun to do. Like, honestly, they kind of have nothing to lose right now.
They really don't.
And so it's like, shit, just go for it. And, I don't know, make 4 subs at once, Coach, which was fun and silly. It worked. Yeah, so they've got Louisville, Kansas City, and OL Reign left. Whew. Their last game coming down to OL Reign is brutal. But
yeah. Well, I mean, that, with the way Reign's been playing, that could be the battle for 6th place right there.
Yeah, the tough part is they have lost to Racing Louisville multiple times this season. Reign kind of kicked their butt. They did beat the Current in quite a game early this season, 4-2.
I remember that.
So that'll be fun. Either way, I think we're going to see games full of goals. And, I think they're going to try their darndest.
Yeah, it's just really, because, like, they'll have a chance to knock Louisville and Kansas City down the table along the way. I want it to go well. I don't want to get too invested in sports again and get caught with that. But
I
don't want to care, but I really want this to happen for the Red Stars. It just would be such a wonderful cherry on top for them.
That would be great.
Speaking of cherry on top, we've got confirmed expansion for the NWSL.
Boston.
Going to Boston. This was kind of in the ether back in January, but now it is confirmed. Had a nice big ol' announcement and did a bit of fanfare. Owners wore embroidered blazers. That's it's a big deal now.
I'm not sure how I feel about the embroidered blazers, but I
say more.
I only saw, like, certain shots of them. They weren't the best photos, maybe. So I would like another perspective on the blazer itself. I'm not against embroidered blazers generally. Although I think, like, a cool jacket is cooler to get embroidered.
Yeah, like a jean jacket. Do like a big patch on the back there.
I've never been a big jean jacket fan. I've never owned a jean jacket, I should say. Because then I'm gonna want to wear it with jeans, and then I'm full Canadian tuxedoing it, pretty much, so I can't, yeah. No, I'm thinking more like the a baseball jacket or like a varsity Ooh. Jacket with the oh, leather.
Yeah. yeah, yeah, yeah.
Give me that instead. I will say, from the looks of it, they're playing with green. We might finally get a proper green team in the league.
Ooh. You know, I hadn't thought of that, and I think it would be quite nice to finally have some green representation. Green, of course, is a color of Boston. You got the Boston Celtics. The Boston PWHL team has also teased a green scheme. So,
oh, they have. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Wait, do they have a name?
No, they don't.
Okay,
we'll get
hockey's not
later.
At names yet. We'll get there. We picked green mostly because no team had it for Galpel stuff, right?
Yeah.
And it was suitable. So, like, I don't want people thinking we're just big Boston fans. That's
God,
a
no.
slight concern
we're not,
of
we're
mine.
We're not making that mistake. So, I
so
will,
I'm just going to start that now. That,
yeah, I will continue my disparaging of Boston area sports teams just to kind of cover our bases there.
As a New Yorker, yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're required.
I have to. I can't root for a Boston team. Part of
Ooh, the... will this be the first NWSL team you, like, actively root against long-term?
Ooh, long-term,
I think it will
probably.
Be.
Yeah. This has been, like, you know, it is fun to hate on the Portland Thorns just because they're so good. But
sure.
I do love to root for individual players on that team, so it's hard not to put a little love that direction. But to start off with our Boston hateration, we have their stadium situation is going to be interesting. They will be sharing with, I believe, pull it up. But they're putting
stadium.
Yeah, they're putting $30 million into stadium updates, which is really cool. But it's not going to be a sole use stadium for them.
And it'll still be rather small.
Yeah, it's an 11K capacity, which, I mean, it's the same level of capacity that I think Kansas City is working with. So it's, you know, it's fine. But if you want to keep hitting those high marks of stadium attendance, I don't know, maybe aim higher.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is, everyone's got to start somewhere, I guess.
That's true.
I guess that can be their first home, but we're gonna expect growth, guys.
Yeah, it's used by Boston Public School Athletics for football games and track. So that part is going to be fun. I would hope that for a new team, or at least we could kind of trend this direction of like you're the women's soccer team, you at least have a space carved out for like priority use for you.
Yeah. That you're like you've got dibs, essentially.
Yeah.
Anything after that, fine. But yeah, I am curious to see how that plays out. But you know, we will find out.
Yeah.
I can't imagine though we will not be doing any finals there at that capacity for a bit. So that's, you know, that's something.
The unfortunate part with this stadium is that it's in Boston, but it's not in an area that is necessarily accessible by either private transportation with your own car or by public transportation. The closest T, I think it's called the T out there, is 20 minutes away via walking and in some hilly terrain, as we've learned. So it's they could do better.
Yeah, not super accessible. I we could say the same of SeatGeek a little bit, although there is a bus that goes there.
And a parking
yeah,
lot.
This isn't and a very large parking lot. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. Again, you gotta start somewhere. We don't know what the options are.
True.
But I hope that their options improve as time goes on and as they, you know, grow their franchise.
Yeah, in a big city, especially here, you're gonna run into some roadblocks when it comes to getting a new stadium. See you again, Chicago. Speaking of roadblocks, the Alex Morgan has been fined by the NWSL for putting the officiating on blast after the San Diego Wave game this weekend, where she was taken down a bit recklessly in the box and not awarded a penalty, but she avoided a serious leg injury, so yay for that.
You know, I'll take it. Yeah. I do love the idea that Alex Morgan went home from that game, sought out the highlight, probably watched it a few times and was like, see? And then was like, you know what? I'm writing it. I'm putting the tweet out. It was a rough tackle, that's for sure. There were a lot of folks in the comments saying it was a all ball or fair, and I was like, no, it's not. Those.
I'm someone who's not necessarily soccer brained, and I'm gonna say I don't see the all ball there. So I'm glad you are also saying you don't see it.
Yeah, like just because you get the ball eventually. Like, when you go through, like, if you go through someone's legs from behind, let's say, that's not really what happened here, but if I run through someone from behind, and the ball is in front of them, so technically I eventually get to the ball, because I have, by means of force, moved their legs out of the way, that's not all ball. That I had to injure someone to get to the ball, which means it is not all ball.
So for clarification, all ball implies perhaps ball first contact?
At least ball first and like minimal contact on. I would say if you're saying all ball, it means you didn't even touch the player. And that's definitely not what happened here. But definitely at least ball first. I think those are actually two different things. But yeah, it's definitely not all baller.
And this has been a moment with the rule-following gaze.
Yep. No, I didn't. That one bothers me a lot. But yeah, Alex Morgan, got a fine. Do we know how much the fine is for?
I don't think we know how much it's for, but she was issued, I believe, the third fine from the league to San Diego Wave. The first two were from Casey Stoney for similar reasons. It's not the first time that we've had this kind of criticism be met with fines. And it's not unusual for a sports league to fine players and coaches for comments made about officials. However, I feel like there's some middle ground that we're not quite seeing here.
Yeah, I don't think whatever the way that the rules are currently written and enforced, I don't agree with. I don't think, like, it's not like Alex Morgan said, like, this ref is an idiot. Like, she didn't disparage the ref themselves as a human. Like, there was no name calling. It was just, how is this not a penalty? Like, it honestly isn't even about, like, the ref is a human. It's just like, hey, where's the call there? And I think that needs to be allowed. I think criticism or critique has to be allowed on some level. And fining people for criticism is always really weird to me. Like, how do you expect things to get better?
It's never met with a good response.
No, and I am curious then what the league thinks they should do. Like, what's the proper course of action then if you want to object or, you know, file for re-review or something? What is a player or manager or owner, because that's happened, supposed to do? Shout out to Sarah Spain. Get those concerns addressed. What we do? The way it's set up right now, I think, is bad. Again, it's not criticism about, like, an individual person. It's not disparaging of the ref themselves. It's just like, how do I... thank goodness I didn't die. Cool.
Yeah, I don't think there's really much of a pathway for appeal in the NWSL. Like, sometimes you'll see it for, like, red card rescinded type of things, but, I mean, like, I know we have the referees don't necessarily make a ton of money, but they did strike a labor agreement with the pro referees last year, earlier
this
year.
Also then just like curious what the league does to, you know, review calls with refs and improve performance there or improve training there.
I'm happy to see like some continuing education studies or, you know, player, like, in other sports leagues, you'll see, like, if you're making terrible calls, you won't get called into the, like, the big games. You're not going to be called in for the playoffs or the championship. So, I don't know, maybe some incentives there.
I'm sure some of that's in place. I want to see them address it publicly and say, hey, here's what we're doing to improve these things.
No, fines for everyone, straight to jail.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, like, one of the areas in which women's sports is underfunded, aka all of them, is still officiating. So maybe we put that money towards... Like, does the fine money go to education for refs? Because that would just be funny.
Yeah, love
but
that.
I do think there should be, like, a formal appeal process. Or, like, the NBA each season, you know, they have a pretty set roster of officials. And in their rules, I think it's the NBA, they do points of emphasis of, hey, this year we're focused on this thing and tightening up this and clarifying this rule. And I love that. I love how clear it is.
Love an ambitious referee agenda.
Yeah. Like, tell me what you're doing. Tell me what you're focused on, what you're worried about. Let's talk.
Speaking of ambitious agendas, it is a U.S. Women's National Team game week.
And day.
Tonight is the night for Julie Ertz's final U.S. Women's National Team appearance. Final appearance, period.
Mama can play.
Mama can play. As
that's what we learned. I am gonna need a near post header, off a corner or a free kick of some sort.
One for the road.
To really wrap this up and feel like I have closure personally. I'll need a goal at least. And we better see, you know, a good amount of time here. That's an interesting question, actually. How much time do you think we're going to see Ertz for, given that the Olympics are less than a year away and we have a new coach? Or an interim coach.
Depending on who's going to be named to the 11 today, I think she gets, like, a good 60 minutes.
Right.
So she can have, like, you know, have the ovation when she steps off the field. And I think
But we're not going to Becky Sauerbrunn hometown game where she plays 12 minutes and then it's like, oh,
that was, yeah, that was tough. But, I think we'll see more than a half just because, like, you know, give her the ovation she deserves.
If I was the interim coach, I would absolutely do it. I would just be playing bonker shit for fun. I was like, yeah, go have fun. I'm not going to be in charge long anyway. Like, whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point. There's really nothing to lose for Coach Twyla.
Big principle for a day energy is what I would
not,
be bringing.
It's not how she talks, but that is how I Coach Twyla sounds like perhaps like a Friday Night Lights, the first woman coach in Texas football.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. yeah, I'd really love to see her put a Chaos 11 out and, you know, give the new kids a chance. And because I mean, like, South Africa also left the World Cup in the round of 16. Like, this should be a pretty good set of matches that we see. We also get Megan Rapinoe's last game on Sunday.
I'm not emotionally ready for that one.
That one's gonna be fun, but also devastating.
Yeah.
We got approved to cover the match, so that's gonna be exciting.
I'm very excited about that. I am, you know, full of emotions with this. There's just the whole Rapinoe thing, and I know it's gonna be tough on the day, but also, like, I've never been to Soldier Field, let alone...
Yeah, no, me neither.
Getting to shoot photos at Soldier Field is going to be incredible. I'm so excited. I've never shot a U.S. national team game before, so this will be my first time doing that. That's very exciting for me. And yeah, it's this massive event, so I'm going to try not to fuck it up, but also I might cave to the pressure and just be crying in a corner. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, it's really exciting, and I feel very fortunate to be able to be there for Megan Rapinoe's last game. We're gonna do a little ditty for her retirement. So if you're at the game,
you know, ditty means song, right? We're not doing a song that I know of.
You have a very important song to sing on Sunday.
Is there choreography that I have to learn? Because I should start now.
Just going on the day.
We're gonna try to make a little video. So if you see us, come say hey. I don't know where we're gonna be at yet. Like, I think
we've literally never been to Soldier Field, so it might be We've been near it. We've driven past it, but we've probably be around the stadium before the doors open, and we would love to talk to you if you have strong feelings about Megan Rapinoe.
Come say hey. And generally, if you see us, say hey, because and tell us what your Twitter handle is if that helps. It'll be very fun. It's gonna be a good day.
Any other thoughts on the retirement weekend?
No, just sad. No, I think it's good. Like, it's bittersweet. Like, this is what we need to do as a team, as a group. It's time to pass that torch a bit, so I'm glad we're doing it. I'm really glad they decided to do these in the Midwest. I think we're real lucky there. And, I'm just excited for the game. It's gonna be a good time.
Speaking of no thoughts, just sad, there is WNBA playoffs happening, and holy moly.
I wouldn't say just sad. There's also just overwhelmed and panic and I think is a feeling. That's how WNBA playoffs. It feels like I'm watching like a Fast and Furious movie every time we watch. Like, that's the emotional range I'm covering.
WNBA basketball is about family.
And, it is.
And driving a car off of a boat and onto another boat, which is pretty much what the Liberty Mystics game was the other night.
That's what it felt like. Shout out to Tasha Cloud, by the way.
Oh, boy.
What a game. I don't, like, she's been a player I pay attention to for a bit now. I really like her work focused on protecting kids in schools and gun safety and stuff like that. So appreciate her there. But then to have her show up and just play her ass off, like,
career
man,
high.
That was a career high points against a very good team. Bonkers. Like, she just said, nope, we're gonna make a run at it, and unfortunately it did not play out for them. It did not play off for them. Is that something?
Is that something?
Is that something? But yeah, what a match. And I hope now she's like resting and, you know, recovering Because I'm sure her body felt it the next day.
It's so... Like, I'm really glad the first round of the WNBA playoffs used to just be like, oh, one game playoff. And I'm really glad they changed that, because just the pendulum swing from one end to another between the Mystics and the Liberty, just harrowing. And I was a neutral of mm-hmm. this game. I can't imagine what it felt like as a Mystics or a Liberty fan. Just be like, oh no, Sabrina missed two free throws that would have put them out front. But wait, Jonquel Jones got the rebound. She missed, but wait, there's a foul on her.
There's always a but wait.
It's in the last 30 seconds of a WNBA playoff game. There's always a but wait.
Yeah, and I'm just screaming the whole time while we watch.
And we have much, much more to look forward to ahead. But speaking of but wait, there is a hockey league happening. For real this time. For real, there's going to be a league, and it's going to stick around this time. It's going to be great. The PWHL had their draft on Monday, and it was pretty cool.
They made an event out of it,
for sure. They did. Like the CBC, the Canadian Broadcasting Company, put it on. They put it in a nice big space, put a big stage up, did it up with like the decorations and banners and purple carpet. And so I this is definitely like the highest production value I've ever seen in anything in professional women's hockey. So that's pretty neat.
Yeah. It was very cool. We got to see very cool pictures of friends of ours there. We saw Shireen and Erica were both there, which was cool. I got to see a picture of them together, which is just the nicest. It's just the nicest people hanging out together. But yeah, I will say I believe in it a little bit more now. How long it sticks around, I will wait and see. Because hockey, I don't trust you. But it was a cool event. I don't think I've ever seen that much women's hockey on my timeline in my life. So I'm very happy for all my hockey friends.
Yeah. I always am excited for a new women's hockey league. I'm gonna nitpick because I love hockey, and that's what I do to things that I love in sports. And I just wish that they put out like some team names or mascots, uniforms. But I mean, I know that stuff takes time, but it's just doesn't quite have the same oomph to it when the draftee holds a hockey stick with their team city on it. Like not as cool as a jersey. I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah, even if it was just like didn't have branding or like a mascot on it yet, but was, you know, a specific color and a jersey and like the city name across the front would have been cool. But
yeah. You know. We did get some color leaks, which is some fun intrigue. They haven't been confirmed, but they were. It was fun to have that kind of intrigue.
Wait, where do we find that? I haven't seen it.
What
are the colors?
Who had that?
Yeah, tease.
First,
I have to remember the name of the league. PWHL.
Get all the letters right.
Okay. Each team's changed their color this week. So Montreal's like a maroon, like a dark red. New York is very like Liberty green, like that kind of seafoamy, yeah, but darker. Toronto is a blue, like a, it's not a baby blue. It's kind of a royal blue, but maybe a little lighter.
A lighter blue. It's like not quite a Maple Leafs blue, but it's in that family.
Yeah, it is almost the color of the like new, like write a new tweet button.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah.
Minnesota is a nice dark purple, kind of like Vikings. Ottawa, bright red. Just red standard, and Boston is a forest green, which I like.
Yeah, I like a green and a teal coming into a league.
Yeah, I also like a dark purple. Give me that.
I think we have a good variety of colors, even if we have like two red teams.
Yeah, that is weird to have two, but they're both Canadian. It's interesting we've got three Canadian, three U.S. teams. But yeah, that's cool. Who are you gonna root for? New York?
I think I'm bound to a New York team. If I'm not gonna have a Chicago team, I'll start there. Boston drafted a scary good team, which is unfair and terrible, and wish you nothing but losing games, but it's probably not gonna happen because they have a stacked roster.
Yeah.
I think New York's gonna be my team. I was also not surprised to see Billie Jean King at this draft because
where isn't she? She's everywhere.
She got incredible stamina for a woman of her age to also, be traveling around to every.
Yeah, like I want to know what her airline miles look like because that woman is on three flights a week at least.
Concierge club.
Yeah, she's the one that you were talking about. Like, oh yeah, it's CEOs and whoever that is part of that club. Yeah, that's. She's got to have more miles than anyone. And then, also, a shout out to her partner. I think Alana Kloss. I don't know if they're actually married.
I don't know either.
But, because she... Oh, they were. They got married in 2018. Anyway, because when we met her, Alana was just there taking photos for everyone and was very nice about it. And I am sure she spends so much time and energy just taking photos of people with her wife. And shout out to her stamina as well.
I would do that for you. I would take pictures of people standing next to you.
It's going to be tough since I'm the one with the camera, but you know, you're welcome to try. I would do the same for you. I have done the same for you.
Have you?
We did a whole video series of you talking to people, yes.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I filmed it, so yes, we've done that. Yeah. But yeah, Billie Jean King, you know, if it's a women's sports event, she's there. And I think it adds some legitimacy to it, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Speaking of short memories... We're gonna take out the trash real quick.
Whose short memory?
Mine. My short memory.
Okay. When were we talking about that?
Just now.
I don't think you said the phrase short memory. Anyway, go ahead. Where are we taking out of the trash?
Guess what? It's our old friend, the RFEF, the Spanish Federation. RFEF. Oh, goodness gracious. Can they just get their shit together?
Okay. No, they cannot, as they showed again this week.
So, we're in an international break. Spain was the last to announce their roster because 39 players had stated that they do not want to be called in. So what mm-hmm. do? They call in 23 players anyway who are... all saying that they don't want to be called in, which creates its own mess because now you have players put in the situation of, okay, I stated something that I didn't want, and once again that was not respected, even though I was promised that this is a brand new day for the Spanish Federation. The Federation promised some legal consequences if they didn't report, like losing your soccer license, which is not something I knew was a thing.
Well, yeah, it's like when you register for a sport, right? Like you register with AYSO or
okay.
you like you just have your little player cards and like rugby and stuff. Like I gotcha. Assume it's just that part. But the fun thing is, I think federations ultimately are the ones that grant those, which is kind of bullshit. So not fighting fair, guys.
Yeah, and it was a whole mess getting the players to report, and they're, like, being sent to different cities, and then when they arrive, there's all this media there being like, hey, how you feeling? Like shit, that's how I'm feeling.
Yeah, not great.
And they had a meeting with Federation that went well into the night, to the next morning, 4:30 a.m., they finally got out. They wanted to make sure that there was going to be no legal recourse for people who decided to leave camp. And so they said it wouldn't be. And we had Mappy Leon and Patri Guijarro, who left camp. They were also two of the players who did not join the team for the World Cup and said, don't call us up before. So they wanted no part of this.
Yeah, I feel for those players because they've kind of just been sitting here like, see, like we told you there was bullshit and we didn't want to play and you guys didn't listen to us. And then you went to the World Cup and yeah, you won, but you also made a big old mess. And now look. So it's like they've been waiting for things to get better or to improve for a long time and don't even have a World Cup medal to show for it. And yeah, it's brutal, and I'm glad they are holding strong.
Yeah, we're just gonna see what happens with their games against Sweden, I believe.
I hope they don't play. And just I hope they give the Swedes a heads up, just like player to player group chat. Hey, just so you know, we're not playing. We're gonna show up and you know,
well,
play
duck the goose instead. It's similar to when Canada came here for the She Believes Cup, and they were still in the middle of their negotiations. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of statement they make as players together, because about women's soccer is they rarely go quietly into the night with these things.
Yeah. All the federations can go jump off a short pier.
They can. And to end on something that is happier, this week in sportsmanship. Doodly-doo.
Yeah, there are a bunch of gays at the Liberty, I almost said Washington Spirit.
Yep, Liberty Spirit.
That would be a weird game. On account of height, I think the Liberty would win. I don't know what sport they're playing at that point, though. Make them play hockey, sure. That'll be weird. No, but we had Sue Bird, we had Ashlyn Harris, we had Kelly O'Hara all at the Liberty game. And I like it when athletes, especially female athletes, go and support other female athletes at their sport, and a lot of time we get to see the dudes sitting courtside, like, what NBA player decided to show up for this one? And, like, I don't get me wrong, I appreciate that they're there, but I don't think we need to throw them a party every time. And I'm glad we got to actually see, you know, some cool faces from our stuff that showed up to support. So yeah, I thought that was cool. I think that was very sporting of them to show up and watch some sports games.
Really sporting.
Gal culture, I guess, as Tobin would say. I'm still I'm clipping it. I'm clipping it.
Just clipping.
But yeah. That is my sportsmanshipping of the week.
Shout out to the gays and the gals and the pals who support other women's sports.
Good. Yeah.
That is going to do it for us this week. Got nothing left. Got places to go. Got things to do. We will be at the U.S. Women's National Team match this Sunday against South Africa, so come say hi to us if you see us there, and make sure you follow, subscribe, rate, review, all of those wonderful things, because we love feedback. We love feedback. That's our favorite thing. Please tell us things.
Actually, genuinely true. It's the gayest thing about me, maybe.
just give just a bunch of rule abiding gays who love feedback.
Yep, I think we're gonna go change our Twitter bio to that. All right. Well, have a good weekend. And wife, I guess I'll see you later in like the living room or something.
Yeah, I'll come by.
Okay, cool. I'll see you there.
Bye.
Bye, guys.